Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, welcome back to our cricket podcast, and I've just lost all of my screens. No, I haven't. They're back. I'm Dan, and I'm joined by Joe Gardner, as always, and we're here to talk to you about cricket stuff, and specifically this week, well, it's the county championship, isn't it? It starts today slash tomorrow, depending on when this thing goes out, and I think finally down here, Joe, I don't know what it's like up your way, but it has actually stopped raining for a bit.
Oh, we must have got your part of the weather that you've had, because it's been pretty miserable here today. Like this morning, oh my goodness, like puddles and flash floods all over the shop. it's actually not raining at the moment, but you feel like if you went out for a walk you could easily get like drowned if you didn't take an umbrella with you. I mean, I think like the rest of the country, we are hoping that as much cricket is on tomorrow as possible, aren't we? But we'll see.
I'm not optimistic. It's genuinely exciting, though, to start to see squad announcements and to start to hear people talking about cricket. We've got the cricket draft teams that we're going to go through later. We're going to talk about Div 1, Div 2 and those other bits as well. But it has felt like a really long winter. Still doesn't quite feel like we're out the other side of it yet, but we're getting closer, and that's nice.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if I was like dreaming about the season starting or what, quite possibly could have been, but like it's like in my head it's like there's two cycles, like April to September, obviously the season, massive, which seems to always fly by. But it's the one that you're waiting for and you're like, yes, the season's finally here. And then each game or each week goes by and you're like, oh, I was rubbish last week. Like, just got to go out and enjoy, not put too much pressure on myself next week. And then you do rubbish again. And then you're like, oh, gosh, right. It's about time I actually did something. And there's not many games left and you're counting down and you kind of go into that mindset. And then like September comes and you're like, oh, it's over now. Now I've got to just spend the next 6 months inside in artificial light and all of that jazz. And then it gets to like April again and you're like, it's here, we're back. Amazing, so excited. It's a strange one, isn't it, cricket?
Best sport in the world. Best sport in the world. But how are you anyway? Are you seeing them well? That's a classic question to ask, isn't it? Like from a... Say I was like an old bloke turning up tomorrow at the county championship, and there's a professional player just walking past. You just go, you seeing them well?
I mentioned last week the pitches at MTs are on this trajectory slightly downwards.
Yes.
But still manageable, still playable. Just having to be quite patient, mainly play square of the wicket because there's just no pace whatsoever. But it's not going too bad. We were meant to have yeah, a middle practice or something that I mentioned last week. Obviously, that's been cancelled. So we are just still in the tent. They've kept it up another week for us. I think that does get taken down this weekend, though. So, you know, next week could be interesting, seeing as we're probably meant to be on a square of some sort practicing. But we'll see how that goes. Bowling's going well, though, actually.
Ooh, okay. Hello. The
tweakers are coming out all right. Getting more consistent. Definitely feeling a bit more confident with the old bowling. So, yeah, I feel like I'm in a half-decent spot. But, yeah, just not much pace in the wickets, as you can imagine.
Mm. Any new tricks to look out for with the ball? Have you got yourself a nice little carom ball over the winter or anything we should look out for? Maybe don't give it away, just in case people are listening. But is there something that Joey Gardner has been working on this winter that we're going to see this summer?
So I was working really hard on something just before we went to Desert Springs, and I was hoping to bring it out in Desert Springs, but the pitches just weren't conducive to what I wanted to do.
Bumper.
And I just don't think they're going to be conducive for what I want to do in April and May. So that one is very much wait a couple of months till June, July, when the pitches have hardened up, fingers crossed, and we will see what happens. There might be a little something in the armoury, but can't nod to it yet.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Good stuff. I've got quite a large video that I'm kind of making my way through at the moment, and currently the timeline on Adobe sits on about 15 and a half minutes, which I'm a little bit terrified about. I think that would be one of the longest videos I think I've probably ever made, and it's taken me about 2 days just to cut down all of the clips together, and then I need to figure out how I'm going to link these different sections of the video together, and I need to do text and graphics, and I need to do music, and I need to do stuff like that. But
are you hoping to get that one out on Sunday?
Yeah,
in an ideal world, yeah,
that'll be out 4 o'clock Sunday. It's good. I've got eight retrobate club cricketers turning up for a competition in order to try and win their cricket kit for 2024, and it's all gone quite well. But as I say, I've got a few more bits that I need to get through yet before it's the finished article. But it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. I'm excited for it.
Sounds like you've done the bulk of it, because I remember last week saying you had like a stupid amount of hours of footage. So to get it down to 15 minutes, I feel like you are in a good place. It's almost like, you know, like at uni when you had an essay and you're just like cutting out a few words to make it reach the word count. It feels like you're almost at that point. Just the main bulk of the actual assignment is done, and you're just tweaking and refining to make sure it's ready for everyone on Sunday. I look forward to watching that.
It's gonna be good fun. There are some characters. There's some questionable cricket. There's some good cricket, to be fair, as well. But yeah, there's some really good people involved, which is really nice. And Siri's trying to talk to me there for some reason. I don't know why. We've got a new thing, a new weekly thing for the podcast. And well, it's called From the Cordon. When was the last time you filled it in the slips, Joe?
I honestly think I've only genuinely filled in the slips once, and that was in a Bucks game up in, I want to say Edinburgh or St Andrews. Maybe it was St Andrews.
Okay.
And I took a catch.
Wow.
First slip. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I'm not there very often.
Well,
you obviously spend a nice amount of time alongside the cordon, though.
Yeah, I'm like a Shania Twain or like a Whitney Houston in Vegas. Me, I've got like permanent residency in there, so which is nice. It's a lovely place to be. Doesn't do wonders for your step count at the end of a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, but you do get an opportunity to ask and talk about some pretty stupid things, which is where the inspiration for this part of the podcast has come from. So no dumb questions have ever been asked in the slip cordon, ever. So my question for you this week from the cordon, Joe, is what animal do you reckon would make the best cricketer?
What animal would be the best cricketer? Right, okay. Now, in my head, this has got to be something that is nimble, agile, strong. So, because obviously you want to be like, feel like you want it to be an all-rounder, don't you? So you want it to be able to, like, bowl a bit of heat and also hit it out the park in an ideal world. So I'm thinking something like... What about a gazelle? Are they a bit too big, a bit too bulky?
I don't know.
I feel like they're quick, though.
Give me some reasons.
In my head, I would go cheetah, because obviously they're like... Actually, no. Do you know what? I've got it. Kangaroo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go on. Hit me.
Okay, so obviously super agile, springy, like would be bounding in pretty fast as well. Also, they've basically got an advantage because they've got a pouch. So, like, they will never drop anything in the field. And batting-wise, the extra spring, I think, is just going to work wonders. Like, yeah, the extra spring can just be, like, an extension of the bat. Like, yeah, I want to see this. Kangaroos playing cricket.
I think it's a great
They're
shout.
Also really scary up close, which is good for intimidating.
I was about to say, like, they are proper scrappy as creatures, aren't they? So I think that stands them in good stead. Plus, they're Australian, so there's a natural link there. I think the obvious one would have been some kind of primate-type situation, but I feel like that's low-hanging fruit in this argument, isn't it? It's not the most creative of things. So kangaroo, I'm all for it. Cheetah went through my mind just because I thought they would be absolute gas. I mean, they'd probably bowl 113 miles an hour. Imagine having one of them as a boundary rider as well. You would never, ever score a four in whatever ground of cricket you were playing at. So, yeah, but I like it. Kangaroo, yeah, sign me up.
Go for it.
Banging. What a great question. What a great segment as well.
That's a good question.
And to be honest with you, we know, Joe, well, you don't, but I will share this kind of information with you, this nugget from the cordon, is the questions don't always have to be cricket related either. Some of these games, they can get a bit boring, they can drift, and all manner of things are discussed between wicketkeeper, first slip, second slip, gully, that kind of, maybe a leg slip if you're feeling a bit funky. Someone under the lid comes up with a bit of a rogue question. Open to interpretation. But as I say, no dumb questions have ever been asked in the slip cordon. We've done that bit already. That's good. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. That's helpful on whatever podcast platform that you choose to listen to. And if you are really enjoying it, you can get involved with the Patreon, where you can get access to early content and new extra content, and you can join Discord service, which Joe's in, actually. So if you've got any kind of like dying questions to ask to a professional cricketer, there's ways of means of you doing so. There's a link in the description of this podcast to do so. County Championship starts tomorrow. Got a question, actually. The question of the week from the Patreon is from Josh. Really simple question. And it just says, predictions for Div 1 champion and relegation and Div 2 promotion teams. So we will talk about that, because we will go through our little county championship preview thoughts, prayers, stuff like that. So you're obviously a Northants ultra, aren't you, Joe? You're
an
there.
Ultra. I'm not quite Wendell.
The man with the world's biggest hands.
Yeah, and the world's biggest flag that he waves. Like... any sporting event, right, you go to the stadium, flags are like hanging off of the rafters, aren't they? No, not Wendell. He's got the flag pole. He flies the flag himself. Now that stands him apart from the crowd. If you needed a reason to get down to Wantage Road at any point this summer, Wendell's your man. It's the only reason why I need to get in the gate.
Do you know he has it stored in the kind of marketing team's office at Wantage Road as well. Doesn't even take it home with him. He just has
it's
it
just
stored
the
there
furniture.
For him. Yeah, exactly. What a guy. But yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts for Northants? Obviously, your team, I guess, my kind of adopted county, but as a local, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? Obviously, they got relegated last year. Didn't particularly have a great time of it, but at the back end, they did show a bit of grit, a bit of fight. Obviously, the signing of Karun Nair would have excited the fans a lot based on what we saw from him at the back end. Obviously, nearly winning that game against Surrey at the Oval if it wasn't for the rain, and he obviously contributed pretty well in that game, in particular against their attack. So, knowing that we've got him around for the first block of games is something that's super exciting, I think, as a fan, knowing that you're pretty much guaranteed some runs from him at the top of the order. And also, Chris Tremaine was fantastic in the, I think he only played 3 games at the start of the year, and took like 13 wickets or something. So to have those two back, probably two of the better overseas contributors that we've had in the county championship side at Northants for a decent amount of time, is a good place to start. I think if they can get a couple of early wins, it seems like you're always talking about momentum, aren't you? If they can get a couple of wins under their belt early on, that'll obviously build confidence within the squad. And then they can kind of go from there. Obviously, I think I've seen Luke Proctor bowling in pre-season as well. He didn't bowl that much last year, so him being able to contribute in, well, all three facets for him being captain is important. And yeah, I guess you're looking at the likes of Emilio Gay to convert some of the starts he had. He had a little bit of a disjointed season. He was injured, wasn't he? But batting at the top of the order around the likes of Karun Nair and potentially Ricardo Vasconcelos, you'd hope that he'll have a big year in Div 2, you would think. He's matured quite a lot as a player since he made his debut quite a few years ago now, actually. So, yeah. And obviously you've got Ben Sanderson, and Ben Sanderson's just, he just does Ben Sanderson things, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a quality operator. I think the drop down will undoubtedly make life a lot easier for a lot of them. I can't see many people being that keen to own a cricket bat at the moment. We've spoken about the weather. I would imagine anybody that bowls kind of seam up stuff around 70, 75 mile an hour is going to be pretty excited about the start of the county championship. So yeah, but as you say, Karun Nair, fantastic cricketer and will undoubtedly score some runs. I do feel like Sussex are kind of set up fairly well now in Div 2, and those two play each other in the first round, which I think is exciting. I don't know. I am excited. I'm back at Northants all summer, and I am very, very excited / hopeful the fact that there is a lot better cricket to watch at Wantage Road this year than what there was last year, because I don't think I was particularly treated to the best version of Northamptonshire, what there possibly was. I think I saw them win twice in the championship, once against Middlesex quite early on, who they'll play first at home in the second round, and then obviously the last game of the season against Essex, which, fantastic result as it was, I don't think Essex were that that kind of keen on it. Or was it Alistair Cook's last day at school as well? Maybe had their kind of minds elsewhere. But yeah, drop down, George Bartlett's a good signing, George Grimshaw's a good signing. I think it's going to be good. I think they'll be okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of the two teams that are looking to go back up again at the end of this season. I think there are a lot of good teams in that Div 2, and I think they're all very competitive. Like, I think Glamorgan have got a pretty good squad. They've just signed Mir Hamza as their overseas seamer, and I think he's terrific. Marnus is obviously going to be there again. Yorkshire, Harry Brook and Joe Root are going to be available for the start of the season. So they look like they probably should score a few runs. Leicester, I think, are a little bit of a team that are going to be on their way up with some of the players that they've got. Rayan's going to be one that's going to be exciting to have a look at. Chris Wright, that left Leicester, went somewhere else and went back to Leicester. He took, I think, 48 poles last year in the championship. So they look pretty decent. Rishi Patel scored a load of runs. I think it's going to be tough. Who do you reckon's going to go up from Div 2?
Yeah, I think you've alluded to it there. Like, the quality in Division 2 seems, certainly now from my perspective, like a lot more balanced and competitive than maybe it had been in the past. Like, the calibre of overseas, like obviously Sussex have got Pujara again, and he's just an absolute run machine, isn't he? Marnus, like, you almost have to take the Division 2 tagline out of it. and just admire the competitiveness of it, I guess. But yeah, I honestly, Yorkshire, knowing that, okay, Joe Root isn't going to be playing the first round. We've seen their squad come out a little bit earlier today. But Harry Brook, Matt Fisher's back for them. Ben Code's impressive. They've got a few youngsters as well. I think they're going to be there or thereabouts. And I also think Sussex are, they're my two promotion candidates, I would say. But I have put Northants in there as a team to watch. If they can get themselves on a bit of a run, I think it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge their loyalty in my heart. How about you?
As I said, I think it's between those three. I think Yorkshire, Northants, Sussex. But as I said, I do think there's some, I just don't think there's going to be many easy games in there. Middlesex obviously got relegated as well, didn't they? They've signed some pretty decent players. Luce Deploy from Derbyshire and I think Henry Brooks from Warwickshire, who bowls rockets. So it's going to be tough. Give me your player. Give me your one to watch from Div 2. I only want one player. It could be this guy. Could might be that one. Give me one player.
That's so tough. I'm going to say, sorry, am I saying that this has to be like a youngster?
No, anyone.
Okay. I'm backing Matt Fisher to be like leading wicket taker in the division.
Great shout. Great shout. I love it. That's a strong shout. I can't be, it might be partly because he's kind of sorted me out with a game at Wantage Road on the 21st of July as well, but I'm going to say Rob Keogh. I think he will be Northants' spinner. So there's definitely going to be some big long overs from him and he's going to take wickets as well, assuming it ever stops raining. Only guy for a long time for Northants last year to score 100 in the championship. And that little step down, I think, is going to make his life just that little bit easier. So I think he's going to have a hatful of, like a bucket load of runs and a hatful of wickets as well at the end of the year. So he's my Div 2 player. Div 1... Nice. Should we just say that Surrey are going to win Div 1 and then we talk about the rest of it from there? Is there much point? Do you see anybody else giving them a little go? I mean, they've just added Dan Lawrence to the team as well, as if they needed any extra players. Anybody?
Their depth is sickening, isn't it?
Yeah.
To any other supporter of any other county, the squad depth at Surrey is genuinely sickening. Do you know what? I really like the look of Durham. I know they only just got promoted, but I really do fancy them to challenge. Not just like win a few games. I think they've got some quite a nice start to the season. I think they've got Hampshire, haven't they, at home. I think, yeah, obviously playing at Chesler Street, I feel like that's a big advantage. Their bowling attack is just pure rockets.
I was about to say, how good does their seam bowling attack look?
It's a joke. They've reinforced the batting lineup even more so. They scored so many runs and scored so many batting points in Div 2 last year. And then they've just signed like Colin Ackerman for the Bants from Leicester. Brilliant signing. I do like the look of Durham.
Yeah.
If I'm not choosing Surrey, I'm choosing Durham.
Yeah, I it's hard to not look there, if that makes sense. I think Essex are going to be there or thereabouts again. They'll be competing. But I think, yeah, Durham feel like they could give Surrey a real good run for their money. Like, Ben Rain took 60 poles last year in Div 2. If there was an England second test team, second 11, Bryden Carse and Matt Potts would be in that team. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them wasn't playing test cricket for England this summer anyway. But if there was a second team, they would be like banked in there straight away. We haven't seen Scott Boland that much other than the kind of the build the man a statue type thing. But you feel the way that he goes about his business, the pace that he bowls at, the type of bowler that he is. He should do bits in the county championship as well. And then, as you say, they've strengthened that batting lineup. Who kind of played that kind of fearless brand of cricket that we saw from the international team, but haven't really seen it adopted by as many counties yet. But Durham certainly did that, and rightfully ended up winning Div 2. Relegations, Worcestershire, I think would be one. I know they've just signed Jason Holder. I assume they found somewhere to play, and they're not going to be just rained off each week as the boating lake at New Road just drains itself. I mean, what a bad bit of luck that is. I mean, they could not have positioned that cricket ground in a worse place with the foresight of any kind of global warming. But they, for me, would be one that I think, unfortunately for Worcestershire fans, might be expecting a bit of a tough year.
Yeah, likewise. I think they're playing at Kidderminster, by all accounts, because I think one of our games against Central Sparks was due to be at New Road, and it's been rearranged for Kidderminster at the beginning of May. So, yeah, it feels like it happens every year. Like, New Road just gets flooded. It's obviously, it's so close to that river, which is a real shame. You would have thought that, yeah, that planning around potential relocation would have happened a bit earlier than it has done. Obviously, I don't even know if they've got plans to relocate
move
and move
the
ground or whatever. But yeah, I think they could be in for a tricky year, just based on the strength of the other squads around the circuit, to be honest. And Kent, I think they struggled a bit last year as well and missed getting relegated last year. As a result of a couple, like, I think if Middlesex had beaten Notts on the last day, then Kent would have gone down. And yeah, they weren't particularly impressive last year. Obviously, they've got Crawley and Daniel Bell Drummond and Ben Compton, who will just bat forever, won't he? He doesn't care about his strike rate.
No.
But yeah, their bowling obviously struggled a lot last year, and I don't particularly think they've reinforced it that strongly when I look at some of the other bowling attacks around the country. So yeah, if I had to choose two, it'd be Worcester and Kent. Who's your one to watch?
That's a horrible question. That really is a horrible question, isn't it? Who's my one to watch? I like the idea of Tom Abell having a big year. I think obviously taking the captaincy or stepping down from the captaincy, of which he's had at Somerset for ages. He's always performed anyway. He's always scored a load of runs, and he's got a fantastic record, hasn't he? He's probably one of those guys at the moment that you kind of think, oh, he must not have ever been far away from international recognition, kind of in one of the full sides. And yeah, maybe take the captaincy away, bit of pressure off, slightly less of a workload, and maybe a few more runs for Tom, who I couldn't actually fit in my fantasy team. But you never know, there might be room as the season goes on. Yourself?
Yeah, there is a lot of talent, isn't there? I think if... based on the Durham conversation, I'm going to go with another quick. I'm going to go with Matty Potts.
Great shout.
He, I'm sure he'll play for England at some point in their test summer, which could be a potential drawback for Durham. But as we've said, they've got a fair amount of strength in depth. But also, I think maybe one for the Hampshire fans, I think the signing of Ali Orr, obviously from your boys Sussex, if he can score his weight of runs at the top of the order, then equally they could quite easily contend and be up there. They've been there or thereabouts the past few years, haven't they? But have potentially lacked a bit of consistency at the top of the order, and they've obviously brought him in to try and rectify that a bit. So he's definitely one to look out for, young Ali Orr. I'm looking forward to it. Can't believe it's less than 24 hours away.
No, it is mad, isn't it? I mean, we'll be tuning into the live streams, and it'll be raining, which will be great. But yeah, fantastic. There's our little very unqualified and fan-based opinions and thoughts on the county championship. So you're welcome.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do you fancy a guess the cricketer? And do you fancy making it county championship themed?
Oh, well.
Or has that thrown a complete spanner in your works?
No, I had gone down that route. Oh,
great
county
minds.
Championship theme, yeah.
How many of these do you reckon we would have to do before we ended up both picking the same player? What do you reckon the odds are of that? That's going to be like a one in several hundreds of thousands, if not millions, isn't it?
Yeah, surely. How many like different cricketers are out there? But that would be really weird, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would be kind of funny, though.
If
neither of us knew anything about
it. It would be elite. Right, go on, I'll let you go first. Fire away.
Okay. Is your player an overseas international?
No. That's a great question because I was going to ask you the same thing. Has your player played for England?
No. Is your player playing in Division 1?
Yes. Could your player play for England?
No. Is your player classified as a batter on the cricket draft?
Yes. Would yours play in the south half of the T20 Blast?
No.
Okay, so we've got a northern overseas cricketer. Lovely.
Has yours played for England?
That's a really good question. Yes, they have actually. Is yours a batter?
No. Is yours in what would be the north group?
Yes. How do I chop down some of these counties? Oh, Joe, this is horrible.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Does yours play north of the River Humber thingy? So like Hull?
No.
Bring up Google Maps now. What a question.
Yeah. No lie. I'm on Google Maps as we speak. Does yours play north of the River Trent?
No. Is yours a Div 1 cricketer?
Yes.
I've got rid of three, though. I've halved it again. Oh, I've had a brainwave, Joe. I've had a brainwave.
Oh, no. That means he's got it.
Maybe. I don't know.
The counties I've got in my head are Warwickshire, Worcestershire and Notts. So I'm going to go with... You didn't sound that convinced. Like, I feel like you were checking about his England eligibility vibe. Haseeb Hameed.
It's incorrect.
Oh.
It's a good shout. It is a good shout. Would yours play in the Bears Pair Derby?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Would yours play in that same fixture?
Yep.
I'm going to go with...
Hang on, you've just asked a question.
No, you did.
No, and you just... said... Yeah, and your follow-up question was, would yours play in that same Derby?
Oh,
and
yeah,
I said,
true.
Yes.
True, true.
Steady on. Steady on. I'm not having
close.
This at all. Absolute cheat. I'm going to take a guess because I reckon you're pretty close to mine. I'm going to take a guess. Is yours Jason Holder?
Oh, for goodness sake. Yes. And yours is Sam Hain, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Sam Hain, yeah.
Oh.
Get in there.
That was competitive.
Come on. The cricket draft. If anybody doesn't know what the cricket draft is, I'd be quite surprised if you're listening to this podcast and you've never kind of stumbled across the cricket draft. I suspect if you're in this kind of very niche corner of the internet, you've probably stumbled across fantasy cricket before. But if you aren't aware of it, it is essentially the fantasy football equivalent for cricket people. and they've just launched the county championship version. I think there was meant to be 100-1, but then they got told not to do it because the ECB wanted to do their own one. But there will be a blast one, and I'm sure there'll be a one-day cup one as well. So there'll be lots of things to go through. Again, another little plug for the Patreon. If you want to join it, there is a Patreon league. And in that league, whoever wins it at the end of the season, I will buy them a county championship shirt of their choice if they win that league. So there's a nice little plug for you. You can join it for £1 a month if you want. You might stand a chance of winning a cricket shirt. But Joe, I know you've worked hard this morning, haven't you, in order to get your team together. And I'd like you to give me a rundown, 1 through 11. And I'm going to ask you why on a couple of these players.
One thing I will say, it's a little disclaimer, this is the first actual draft of my team because I'm awaiting the counties to announce their squads.
Okay.
I'm keeping an eagle eye on Twitter and I had to pick it just before we recorded the podcast because I've been having glitches all morning and there were loads of people I'd written down who I wanted in my team. Then I realised the budget's really tight and all of these other fancy cricket palavers that you could possibly have.
You've
anyway.
You've been listening to podcasts for the last week, haven't you, on how to go about picking your team as well?
Yeah, just, you know, the kind of tactics. And I've been looking at the fixtures and, like, who's got home fixtures and nice, easier rated fixtures. Like, yeah, I'm a bit of a nuffy in that sense, I guess. Anyway, the people currently in my starting 11,
yes,
as we speak. So we've gone for Karun Nair, who I already mentioned. I think he is going to score the majority of Northants runs for the games that he plays in. So I'm backing him to hit the Div 2 bowlers all over the park.
It's a great shout.
Second batter and captain at this point in time, Harry Brook. Harry Brook. I don't know if you saw any of the highlights from, I think it was their warm-up game against like Durham and he scored like 70 or 40 balls.
Yeah.
Like, it's just more of the same, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and you've not got much, but you haven't got much budget left there, have you?
Well, yeah, I've gone big on those two. We're nearly at 20 mil for those two players. So, yeah, I've gone with Harry Brook. I felt like I needed that premium international contingent in the batting lineup. And then my third batter currently in the team, Tawanda Muyeye.
Mm.
I saw him last year when he played the county ground against Northant, and he was just really exciting. Personally, if I didn't think Kent were going to get relegated, he would definitely be my player to watch because I think he's got a really, really bright future in like all three formats ahead of him. He was, yeah, very impressive from the small amount I saw of him last year. So he's gone in there. Nice price as well. He's quite a reasonable value. Then we move on to the all-rounders. So I've gone with Ryan Higgins of Middlesex.
Great shout.
He was like, yeah, he pretty much carried Middlesex. For all the good of Middlesex last year, pretty much.
Another expensive
You know
pick.
He's going to contribute.
£8 mil?
£8 mil, yeah.
Yeah.
Big cash money. Yeah, he's just a solid choice. Like, you know that he's going to get points for you. Then we've gone with Jamie Overton.
Yeah, okay. Good
another
shout.
Another big money signing. Felt like I had to have a Surrey player in there.
Am I bowling for your team here? I feel like the amount of money you're spending on your batters, I feel like you're going to end up with someone like me bowling at the back end.
I've got a couple of budget all-rounders to follow in Jamie Overton's footsteps. And then the quality still continues, I can't lie.
Okay.
But, yeah, my bench is a bit, but it's 100 mil, I can assure you. So Jamie Overton, because I needed a Surrey player, and he bowls rockets and also whacks it, and we love players that whack it. Dan Mousley of Warwickshire. They've got three fixtures at Edgbaston out of their first four games. And again, like Muyeye, he is very talented. Obviously played for the Lions over the winter. Yeah, we'll bowl a bit of off-spin. left-handed bat, exciting. And then we went for George Balderson as my fourth all-rounder of Lancashire. We'll check the team news on that one, but he's pretty versatile. I think on one of these podcasts I was listening to, I think he batted anywhere between 1 and 8 last year, yeah. And also bowls a few tweakers. My wicketkeeper, Ollie Robinson of Durham, because...
You and everybody else in the world.
Yeah. There were a few other wicket-keeping candidates that were there or thereabouts, but I've gone with Ollie Robinson, had a really good year last year. As I said, I think Durham are going to do well, so I've gone with him. And we move on to the seam department. Now, Matty Potts. Spoke about him earlier. I just think he's great. I honestly do. If he stays injury-free, I know I'm probably going to have to sub him out at some point because he's going to play for England, but we've gone with him. I've also gone for Jamie Porter of Essex.
How the hell have you only spent £100 million? This makes no sense to me here.
That's how good my team is, right, Dan? Jamie Porter of Essex.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was like their leading wicket taker last year and has been in his opening partnership with Sam Cook. Like, they just take poles, and he was cheaper than Sam Cook, so Jamie Porter's in the team. And my third bowler, and currently my vice captain, which you might call me a bit
probably
wrong.
Simon Harmer.
Nah, too expensive.
Didn't get special rates because you're a pro player. You just like gave him a little sneaky message and said, "Can I have an extra 20 mil to pay?"
Yeah, thank you. I will take home the bacon of all the leagues if you just give me a bit of extra cash. Chris Rushworth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good shout. That's a great, great addition.
A county stalwart.
Yeah.
He did it at Durham. He does it for the Bears. As I said, they've got a few home games. Him, Hassan Ali, Ollie Hannon-Dolby, Bosch. That's where we're at the moment.
I like it. And there's been some genuinely good thought into that team. I think it's hard really to critique it. It is hard to critique it. I am fairly suspicious on how much you've spent. I do have to say that. I'm not quite sure how you've got away with it. But I do...
I can send you the screenshot. No, I trust you.
Like, Tawanda Muyeye, I agree with you. I think he's got a very exciting future. And I think he probably is a bit of a bargain as well. I think he's about 5.7 mil, isn't he? And I was quite surprised by that from a guy that's almost certainly going to play every week for Kent and bat in the top six. I think probably bat 5, possibly 6. But that surprises me that he was so cheap. And I have to say, he was in my preliminary squad, but didn't quite make the cut. But as you said, I think like I'm quite happy with my team, but I have probably spent more hours than what I care to admit on just tinkering about with it, just to see if I can make it go a certain way of what I want to. And I'm still not 100% happy about it. So I don't know how I feel. But I've gone quite seam bowler heavy because, as I said earlier, I mean, who on earth would want to own a cricket bat in April in England? And I feel like there's guys here that should take poles. And that's my logic. So my three batters across the top, and I don't know whether the additional facets of their game count for points or not, but I've gone for Jennings. Because he's super experienced, scores a lot of runs, not massively bothered about the off chance that he might bowl some real like little seam uppers. I think Lanks probably won't have him that high on the list of things to do, but I think he's a good shout. Ackerman at Durham, I think with their seam bowlers, I think it's pretty likely he's going to be the only spinner in their squad. So not only is he a fantastic batter, but potentially I might snare a few extra points with a couple of poles here or there. And then I got a bit kind of confused and a bit panicked, but I kind of thought if you can't score runs at the Oval, you're not going to score runs anywhere. So I've gone for Jamie Smith, not as my wicketkeeper though, but that's the bit that's kind of troubling me. I don't know whether I've gone, I don't know whether catches will count, but he had a good season last year. He's going to end up playing for England one day. The best place to bat in the country is the Oval by a mile. So I wanted him in my team. They're my top three-ish. Then I've gone for Rob Keogh for reasons explained earlier in the episode. He will score runs. He will take wickets. Then, and this is no disrespect to Craig Overton, But Craig Overton is in my team, and he's the one that I'm kind of looking at the moment that I'm not. And for no other reason, the fact that he's very expensive. And I just wonder whether there's a better way for me to manipulate my budget in order to kind of cover things off. But he's going to take wickets for Somerset. Nice little green seamer somewhere in the early months. He's going to take big poles. Also chips in with a few decent runs, doesn't he, down the lower order. Finn Hudson-Prentice scored nearly 1,000 runs last year for Sussex, was their leading run scorer by quite a distance. Also turns his arm over, handy cricketer. And I kind of feel like he might tell me off if I didn't have him in the team. Then also at Sussex, I've gone for Danny Lamb. Another kind of guy that's going to play, I would imagine going to play each game for Sussex. They've obviously brought him in from Lancs. Will definitely bowl, will definitely contribute with a few extra runs down the bottom end. With the gloves, Ben Brown. I didn't fall in the Ollie Robinson trap. Didn't fall in the Ollie Robinson bat trap. But Ben Brown's brilliant. Like, he just scores runs for fun. Another nice place to bat, isn't it? The Aegeus. Makes sense. And then my three seamers, and I'm quite proud of this trio of seamers. Like, if you were off to play cricket, of all the county championship bowlers that you could come up against, and this is including Craig Overton, just to make it a nice quartet of seamers. But I've gone Chris Tremaine, big money signing, Jamie Porter, and then Mo Abass as well. Good luck. Like, if you come up against those four seamers, good luck scoring a run. It's not how fantasy cricket works, but that's my mindset.
Yeah, that seam bowling attack is tidy. I'm a big fan. Also, nice balance.
Thanks.
I think you've got a nice balance. Yeah. Nice loyalty to Sussex as well. They're picking a couple of their players and Northants with that regard. Yeah. I can't wait to like debrief this each week and see how we hype up our teams and then realise that they've actually flopped and all the people we didn't pick that were like second on our lists have all returned points. Yes. Very exciting.
Yeah.
But still subject to changes at the 11th hour, you know. You got to keep on top of the team news.
You'll be there at 10:30 tomorrow morning, just swapping and changing some players out just in case there's the off chance. Once the toss has been done, and then once the starting 11s are in, Joe will be sitting there just going, right, I'm just going to... Do you mind just holding on the sidearm for a second? I just need to change my fantasy team. We'll keep kind of a running update as the season goes on, because I feel like there's some real nice bit of context, I think, to kind of having that podcast all the way through, is to find out where we are in the world and how many points we've got and what substitutions we're going to make and things like that. So I like that as a nice thing throughout it. And then finally this week, Joe, you've prepped a bit of a top 10 little quiz to end the episode.
I have indeed. You know how we love our trivia on this podcast. And running with the county championship theme, it was only right to pay honour to the top 10 run scorers across both divisions from last year. People in this list may or may not have already been mentioned at different times in the podcast. But yeah, this is a nice little test for you, Dan. I'm backing you here. Fire away.
Do you know what? I kind of fancy my chances.
Of all 10?
It could happen.
You've been on ESPN Cricket.
I haven't. I genuinely haven't. Not since last summer anyway. I've done no prep for my commentary so far this year. And I'm so grateful the fact that Northants don't play at home until next weekend, because otherwise I don't know how I'd do that and edit that video for this Sunday. I would like to start off, please, with Josh Bohannon,
correct. He was second across both divisions, top of Division 1 for Lancashire, 1,257 runs at an average just under 60.
That is a lot.
Nice.
I'd like Alex Lees as well.
Alex Lees, he is number 1, top of the list. 1,347 runs at an average of over 70.
That's wow. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Player.
Who else is going to be kicking about in that top 10? That is a good question. The thing is once you're here now, you just start panicking, don't you?
Mm.
You do start panicking a little bit. And I've got some names, and I'm now I'm less confident as what I was before I started. Rishi Patel, he scored about 400s, I think.
Rishi Patel, he's in at 7th. He did score 400s, average just under 45, over 1,000 runs for Rishi Patel, so he's 7th on the list.
Vince?
No, that is your first life gone, Dan. No James Vince.
Joe, what am I doing with my life? Oh, I've lost it. Did Luce Deploy score a lot of runs for Derbyshire?
Ding, ding, ding. Luce Deploy, he's number 3.
He did score a lot of runs
for Derbyshire. Considering they didn't win a game, bit weird. He averaged 82.4 in Division 2. 1,236 runs for Luce Deploy. So you've got 4.
Tom Wesley,
great shout. He's in 5th on the list.
Okay.
And was second leading run scorer in Division 1 with 1,130 runs, Tom Wesley.
I'm guessing all of these guys have got over 1,000 runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bell
Drummond scored 300 in front of me. He scored a third of the way to get in the list, but I don't think he made the top 10.
Well, you're halfway there and you've only lost one life.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I could lose the other two quite quickly. It's got to be a Surrey player. Oh, James Roux. I don't know why I've gone Surrey, but James Roux is in that top 10.
James Roux is in that top 10. He is in 6th. He scored 500 last year, averaging 57.
Have I got 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7?
Yes.
Right, okay. I'll have a go with Jamie Smith.
Jamie Smith is incorrect.
Damn it.
And I will spare you of your last life. There are no Surrey players.
They're
in
not.
The no.
So won the Champo without actually scoring any runs.
Yeah, they just had loads of people get like over 500.
Fair play, lads.
You've got one player in Division 1 and the other 3 are from Division 2. All play for different clubs.
Yeah. I mean, if Vince didn't score 1,000, I don't think anybody else from Hampshire scored 1,000. Although Dawson probably had quite a good year. Hamid, no. Jennings is the one I'm thinking. This is a horrible game. Who came up with this idea? See, every time I ask you a question, I kind of sit there and just feel really smug about this, don't I?
You said you were backing yourself to get all 10 as well.
What have I got? Have I got 3 left or 4
left? You've got 6, yeah.
Oh, I've got 4 left.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
4 and then 8, 9, 10.
Graham Clark.
Graham Clark is incorrect.
Damn it, Joe. Oh, who are the 4?
Okay, so Worcestershire, who got promoted? Jake Libby.
Oh,
he was in 4th.
Yeah.
1,153 runs, 400s, averaging just under 58.
Mm.
Coming in at number 8. Kieran Carlson for Glamorgan with 1,068 runs. He also scored 4 centuries. Number 9 was the other player in Div 1, Joe Clark of Nottinghamshire,
yeah,
averaging 50 with a couple of hundreds. And then in 10th, now this is what rounds off this list so remarkably, is that it's another Derbyshire player. They didn't win a game. Lewis Rees averaged 87.3 and scored 1,048 runs for Derbyshire. He comes in at 10th.
That is actually ridiculous.
Crazy.
How have they had 2 blokes averaging over 80 and not won a game of cricket?
Yeah, work that one out. Mental. I'm sorry, I haven't got a single player in the top 10.
Mind blowing. Anyway.
Cricket.
Joe.
Solid effort.
Yeah, great to chat to you as always.
100%. Let's see how these teams get on this weekend. And good luck editing the rest of the video.
Thanks so much. See you soon.
Bye.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.